So I thought that it would be good for us to consider the Passover festival, because this is something that happened on an annual basis. But I also thought that there are some parallels, but there are some major differences as well. So if I could get my PowerPoint up there, that'd be great. You might have to run it to the first slide. So the background to the Passover, as we probably all know, is that the people had come to reside in Egypt during a famine. But 200, well, maybe 300 years had passed. I'm not quite sure how long it was, but several hundred years had passed. And in that time, the people of Israel had become enslaved and oppressed. So now Moses turns up to deliver the message from God to the king of Egypt. There we go. There we go. Let my people go. So after a number of successive awful plagues in the land of Egypt, the Egyptians have been worn down, but they're still not convinced that they should let the people go. They still are holding on to them because they feel that they're a valuable commodity. They're not going to allow them to make a peaceful exit. So the last plague is prepared, which will result in the death of the firstborn of every family in the land. So as a symbol of protection, the Passover feast is prepared, and the door frames of the protected houses are daubed in the blood of the lamb that is to be eaten as part of the Passover meal. When so many died, the Egyptians did let the people of Israel go. It is in many ways a really quite brutal story. We've got used to hearing it, but it is, in a way, quite horrifying. But unfortunately, it's all too familiar in the world that we live in. Oppression, the desire for freedom, the death of both the guilty and the innocent, because many of those firstborn were children. Sacrifice and salvation. The need to remember was very strong in the Jews because this was, in a way, a defining moment for Israel. A moment when they gained their freedom. It was still a long journey ahead, you may recall. But they needed to remember it. They needed to remember what God had done for them. It was a memory passed from one generation to the next. The First World War, or the Great War, as it was, but it was supposed to be the war to end all wars. Sadly, how wrong that proved to be. And I fear that as the world becomes more difficult to live in, there will be only more war, more strife. Wars will become increasingly prevalent rather than less so. I was watching a part of a program. I'm good at that. I just sort of somehow managed to pick up a bit on the TV. And this was about the country of Niger. I don't know if anybody else saw it. Which borders the Sahara Desert. Well, it used to border it. Sadly, the Sahara Desert is on the move, and now it occupies a significant proportion of Niger. And it's being predicted that it may occupy the whole country in the fullness of time. This used to be a peaceful enough country, but this is no more. As desperate young men with no land, no future, seek meaning, they are joining rival militias, and a civil war will probably soon engulf this place. It's odd. I can recall hearing about the encroachment of the Sahara Desert way back in the late 60s, when my very enlightened geography teacher mentioned that the desert was growing. No one, as far as I'm aware, knew why. But actually, I suspect that the very early stages of the climate catastrophe had already begun way back then. We just didn't realize it. So just as the hopelessness of the Israelites led Moses to seek their freedom, and Moses, of course, was inspired by God, God heard the cries of those people, the oppressed, the slaves. So too, in the modern world, hopelessness breeds an extreme and dangerous form of discontent. It can breed war and civil unrest. I think perhaps the most dangerous of all forms of unrest is religious extremism. And we're seeing that popping up in all sorts of places around this world. And I fear that the cycle will begin again and again as the climate ruins the simple hopes and dreams of the youth of tomorrow. Of course, climate is not the only cause. You know, it would be foolish to think it was. But it is a major contributor. Some forms of disaster bring people together. You often see that, where, you know, in the Italian earthquake recently, there was this huge outpouring of togetherness as both Italy and Europe joined together to bring relief. But I think that mostly the problems with climate tend to be divisory, because they bring starvation, drought, or flooding, and hopelessness. It's long term, and that's the problem. So, what can we seek to do on Remembrance Sunday? I think we can take the themes of the Passover and remember the past with both sadness and joy, and learn from it. Because we have seen that in the past, many very terrible things have been overcome. But I think one of the really important verses in this scripture is verse 26. "And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes.'" When your children ask you, we have to speak up. We have to answer the questions. And in a way, all the different things that we do, from remembrance through to just turning up at church on a Sunday or being at fellowship group, all these things actually would naturally come up in our conversations at some time or another. So even if our children, our family, our colleagues, and our neighbors do not ask, maybe these things should be a natural springboard to say a little bit thing about what God has done in our lives. And of course, every month we have communion, either in the morning or the evening service. And that too is has its own sense of remembrance to it. It's sort of a reflection of the Passover. And our simple times of worship and fellowship are an opportunity for us to share with one another, but also to tell our salvation story to each other, so that we're good at it for when we talk to others. Actually, we don't need to be that good. We just need to be ourselves. And that's what the Passover was all about. It was about remembering. Remembering the great thing that God had done. And we've all got great things that God has been doing and is probably still doing today in our lives. At Remembrance, we recall that the men and women made an ultimate sacrifice. And they did. And we are very grateful because we live in a land of freedom, which we might not have done otherwise. Jesus himself, of course, went far beyond this and sacrificed his perfect self for the redemption of the entire world. In Romans, we read this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So what is your story of faith? It may be very simple, and actually that might be really good. Your story of faith can be a challenge to me, can be a challenge to the people in your fellowship group, but it might just be a lovely story about how God touched your life. We need to have a willingness to pass on that story to those around us. As you've walked through this life and encountered good and bad times, yet you've still been sustained by your loving Heavenly Father. And that gives you a story to tell. As you've been upheld by the comfort of the Holy Spirit, when you are deep in mourning, just as a mother's love enfolds you, this is the story of God's work in and through your life. It can be real. It can be raw. It can even include your doubts and fears. Because in a way, that is what the Passover tells us. It's real. It's raw. It's tricky. But in the end, it's a story of salvation, just like the story that we have in our own lives. I know that Jenny often says, Jenny is my wife, you probably all know, but she often says, well, I don't remember having made a single commitment like in my case I did. But that doesn't stop her story being just as relevant of how God has interacted with her in her life, in her most difficult times and her times of greatest joy. You don't have to have a specific story, a sort of headline testimony. We all have our stories of how we have been upheld by this God who loves us so much. The main thing is that it's your story. And because it's yours, it's powerful. Because the Lord stands beside you and empowers you, it is the word of God to your loved ones and to your neighbors. If I turned it off, should be one more slide. Is there not one more? You can just move it on if there is. So this Remembrance Sunday, keep in mind that you can be asked in a multitude of different ways about your story. And we just need to keep our ears and our eyes and our hearts open so that we tell it, so that we don't waste the freedom that we've been given, but can actually reach out to others with the good news just through the things that have happened in our own lives and how God has touched us. So this Remembrance Sunday, keep in mind this wonderful verse. When your children ask you, or when anybody asks you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it's the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spares our homes. Spared our homes. It's the story of salvation. Let us pray together as the band return. Lord, we just thank you for the many people that we owe our freedom to in this wonderful country in which we live. And we thank you, Lord, for your great love, that you were willing to lay down your life to take upon yourself the sin of the world. May we take this into our hearts, understand how that has changed each one of us here, and just remember that we have a story to tell when the opportunity comes. Sometimes that telling is just in our actions. We recognize that, Lord. But let us not be shy to speak out the words of salvation in the simplest forms that we understand, and powerfully give an answer to those who need to know just what a difference that you, our great and mighty God, can make in our individual lives. Use us, we pray, to reach those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to